1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim his praises, who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 1:12. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please? Excuse me. Children, please stand for Bible class. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Our purpose for being here tonight, as always, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. What a magnificent privilege is ours as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to study God's wonderful Word. God has been good to us to give us the completed canon of Scripture, the magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit, and so many blessings, including spiritual blessings and logistical blessings on a day-by-day basis. How wonderful it is to be here tonight to study. We're going to begin in a few moments, not with 1 Thessalonians 4:14, but with 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We'll begin our reading in just a few moments after we spend a few moments in prayer. We all realize that the time that we spend in prayer at the beginning of our session is for us to be sure that we're in harmony, in a proper relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. God has given us that wonderful opportunity to know that we're cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, and we're ready then to be the recipients of the communication of the Word of God. May we pray together, please. Father, it is so good for us to be here tonight. We're thankful that we are your children. Not because we deserve to be, but because of the magnificent grace of God manifested through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, to go to the cross and to bear the sins of the world. We know that the Scripture teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're thankful indeed tonight that we have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and that He has accepted us. It is so wonderful and so powerful to know that heaven is our eternal home. One of these days we will leave this life either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death. And we realize that the Scripture teaches us be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. We thank You for those magnificent truths which teach us those facts. Bless us in these moments of study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by telling you that this is a time of rejoicing. As I think in terms of the fact that we have been dealing with the subject of the rapture, when I came to the conclusion of the session just preceding tonight, I realized that it was not time for me to move to the subject of the tribulation, but I wanted to spend some more time on that magnificent and wonderful subject of the fact that the church age is such a fantastic time. And when we come to the end of the church age, or if we come to a point of time when God chooses to take us home before the end of the age of grace, we'll be absent from this body and at home with our Lord. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is telling us so much in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Some years ago, while preaching, I noticed a young man sitting at the back of the auditorium. He seemed to be disturbed. I felt like that it would be necessary for me, if I could, to have a little conference with him, and I did. And when I chatted with him, I found out that he was saying that, "Preacher, I want you to understand that I've been listening to what you've said about Jesus coming again and about people dying." And he said, "I don't really believe that I'm ready, but I want to be." And so I was privileged to be able to show him how he could be ready. These are some of the verses that we were preaching on at that time. Look, if you will, please, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "But I would not have you to be unknowing, ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." There are some words that I would encourage you to remember as we deal with the subject of eschatology. There are other words that I would like to emphasize. I would like to emphasize the word Christology. These are words that you already know, words that are in your vocabulary, but words I believe are good for us to rehearse. Christos is the word for Christ. Ology is an interesting part of the word. Logia, logos, word. Logia, study. Christology, then, would be the study of Christ. If you'll notice the second word that's on the screen, it is soteriology. Most of us have learned over the years that the word soteriology is a word related to salvation. And so it would be the study of salvation. We've given attention to the subject of the rapture. We're dealing again tonight with the church age. We're going to emphasize the second advent. We're going to emphasize again some facets related to the time in which is known as the mystery. Next Sunday, we'll look at the subject of the tribulation. We'll look at the subject of the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb, if you're taking these down, the millennium, the great white throne judgment, eternity. I mentioned the word eschatology. On the screen now, I'm going to put up for you to see the word eschatos. One part of that word eschatology is eschatos, E-S-C-H-A-T-O-S, which is the word last. Logia, L-O-G-I-A, I've already said word, study. So eschatology then would be, as I'm putting it on the screen for you to see, last word. If you want some definitions, I've put them down for you. Eschatology means the final events of history. It means ultimate destiny of humanity. It means end times. We could define eschatology as the final destiny of the soul. We could emphasize eschatology as last things. Perhaps you all have these words down, and this is not new to you. This is recapitulation. This is review. But it would be good for you, if you do not have them down, to write them down. Eschatology. Final events of history. Ultimate destiny of humanity. End times. Final destiny of the soul. Last things. There are many things that could be said about this. As far as we know, that the time of the rapture, or the end of the time when our Lord will come to receive His own unto Himself, we do not know exactly when that will be. However, it's going to be a time when all born-again believers, which we call the church age, the church people, will be going out of here and going into the presence of the Lord. If you want to take some notes, I'd like to give you some very simple notes. I'm going to do this in several ways tonight. One of these is that I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and a number of numbers, and then I'm going to stop and start over again, so that in case you missed it, you'll pick it up the second time. The church is on its way to heaven. Church age believers, all of us is born again. We're going to be gone from here one of these days. As I glance down here at Marge, I'm reminded of an ambulance coming to the house one night and realizing, as I stayed with her husband, and Joyce and I stayed with him, and she was taken to the hospital, and we didn't know exactly what was going to take place. But now as we look back over that, the Lord wasn't ready for her to go home, so He still has her here. The Lord is preparing, number one, a place for His children. You ought to put this down. You already know it, but put it down as a point. The Lord is preparing a place for His children. And we'll descend one of these days from the Father's house, John 14, 1 through 3, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. I do not know, and neither do you, but it's great. There's a great possibility that the Lord could come at any moment to receive us unto Himself. Well, if that happens, then you and I will not have to leave this life by physical death, which is okay. We wouldn't mind that, would we? But I'm sure that one of these days it appears it could be at any time that the Lord will come to receive His own unto Himself. The Lord, number one, is preparing a place for His children. And we'll descend from the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Have you ever really thought about that? Where Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord is preparing a place for His children and will descend from the Father's house. Number two, if you're writing at the rapture, the resurrection of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ will take us to Himself. Have you thought about that? John 14:3. I just quoted it, and I'll repeat. I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Many times we go day after day without ever really realizing and thinking much about that. But do you realize how close we are to being in the presence of Jesus Christ? Only one breath, only one heartbeat. We're very close. Do you know that? Very close. Number three, the bodies of the believers who have passed away will be resurrected at the time of the departure of living believers. I'm trying to give you a simple outline. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which remain are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm always reminded of, I believe it was Dr. R.G. Lee, who said that one day he was preaching along this line and a little feisty lady came up. Now, not all ladies are feisty, but this lady came up and she said, Dr. Lee, I just want to ask you something. It seems to me that the Lord would be unfair if He takes some out and then takes others later. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And she was saying, that seems to be unfair. Isn't it strange what people's conclusions are a lot of time? And I wondered what Dr. Lee would say. And he said, oh, lady, don't let that bother you. He said, I'm telling you, that movement's going to be so fast that the dead in Christ will go. And then those of us who remain alive will all go together. That was his statement. The bodies of the believers who have passed away will be resurrected at the time of the departure of the living believers. That's what we find in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, 15. Number four, the Lord descends with a loud command, the scripture says, suddenly, to receive His own. We find that in 1 Corinthians 15:52. The Lord descends with a loud command, suddenly, to receive his own. You might want to write 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Number five, believers will hear the voice of the archangel, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Number six, the last trumpet of God for the church will be heard. This is not the seventh trumpet of judgment of the world as described in Revelation 1 or 11, 15. We could get into that, but we won't do it now. Number seven, the corruptible ashes of the dead bodies of those who died in the Lord will be made incorruptible and joined together with their spirits. I'm sure that so many times you've heard me preach over the years about the importance of the body, soul, spirit. And what happens at the time of our departure and the body, and how God has made it possible for us to be the recipients at regeneration of the imputation of his righteousness. The corruptible ashes of the dead bodies of those who died in the Lord will be made incorruptible and joined together with their spirits. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17. Number eight, the remaining believers will be changed, made incorruptible, according to the Apostle Paul's Spirit-led teaching in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 53. I trust you're taking these notes. I want to move rapidly because I want to go on to another section. All believers, number nine, will be caught up, raptured together. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Number nine, all believers will be caught up or raptured together. The last session we talked about the words related to the rapture, and the word rapture is the word is not found in the New Testament, but is a word that emphasizes being seized, being taken out, being moved rapidly. The living and the dead believers will be caught up in the clouds to have a great reunion, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Number 11, this meeting will be in the air. This meeting will be in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. If I were giving now a presentation related to the difference between the rapture and the second advent, this is where I would emphasize the fact that the rapture is a private affair. The second advent is a public affair. Not emphasizing that now. Just want you to know that there's more to it than what I'm giving you here. Number 12, the Father will then take the believers to the Father's house. And John 14 says that where I am, there you may be also. Number 13, always to be with the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. If you're listening carefully, you're able to see tonight that this is a magnificent subject. God's taking his children home. The rapture. Number 14, the Lord will then evaluate believers. And this, of course, we'll study as an individual separate message called the judgment seat of Christ in Romans 14, 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Described also in 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15. Number 15, Christ will meet his bride. The church and the marriage supper will take place, known as the marriage of the Lamb. I need to pause and tell you something right here. When you study the book of Ephesians, it's a magnificent book. dealing actually with a higher level in relationship to the believer, advancing and being more of a mature, advanced believer. So many beautiful subjects found in the book of Ephesians. We've been plodding along over the past months and pause then for a while, but we'll be back again. But in this magnificent book, as we move on into the next chapter of Ephesians chapter 5, we have an emphasis upon the relationship of the husband and the wife, and a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ the groom and the church, born again believers of the church age, the bride. You've heard me say this, and I don't know how far you want to take it, but we've emphasized the fact that when Jesus Christ came on the scene, we discovered that there was a young man engaged to be married, and he discovered that that person whom he loved and with whom he was to be married was expecting a baby. He was somewhat startled about this. Who wouldn't be? And it was about this time that the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, "Fear not to take her, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And we all understand the virgin conception and the virgin birth. And over the years, I have referred to this, and you can take it as far as you want to, and that's okay with me. Jesus Christ is the groom. All born-again believers make up the bride. The groom and the bride have not been united yet. So in essence, we could say that our birth causes us to have the magnificent statement that could refer to a virgin conception. Now take that and do whatever you want to with it. But it's something to think about. Because right now, you and I, as born-again believers, are not united, but will be at the time of the rapture with the person of Jesus Christ. The groom and the bride will then be united. Some of you got that. Others of you are thinking about it. Christ will meet his bride. Number 15, the church. And the marriage supper will take place, known as the marriage of the Lamb. When the church is removed, the world will suffer God's wrath called the tribulation. At the second service next Sunday, we'll be dealing with that subject. Let me give you a few other verses before we close. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also the ones having slept through Jesus, God will bring with him." When I think in terms of where we are in 2020, when I think in terms of the situation in which we find ourselves today, there's a great possibility that Jesus Christ could come to receive his own during 2020. Wouldn't that be wonderful? When I put the timeline on the screen and let you take a look at it, you'll see again the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, Jesus Christ coming on the scene, the church age where we now live, emphasis on the rapture, the tribulation, the second advent, the millennium. We've seen this timeline. We'll look at it again. We call this the chronology. The end time is referred to as that which takes place when Jesus comes to receive his own. Number one, again, there, as far as I can tell, there are no prophetic events that have to precede the rapture. It can happen at any time. There are many things that would help us to see that That could take place at any time now. But that has been true for years and years and years. There are no prophetic events that have been presented in the Word of God that have to take place to before the rapture could occur. So I say it like this. There are no prophetic events that have to precede the rapture. It can happen at any time, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Number two, the rapture is the next major event, which happens prior to those terrible seven-year period time called the tribulation. Number three, Jesus calls the second half of that seven-year period of time the Great Tribulation. We have this verse in the scripture for next Sunday, Matthew 24:21. Jesus calls the second half of the seven-year period the Great Tribulation. The Battle of Armageddon. All of these interesting things presented in the Word of God in relationship to the tribulation. 144,000 Jews converted and evangelists during that time. The scripture presents beautifully four major waves of evangelism during that seven-year period of time. We'll get into that some. The rapture occurs before the seven-year tribulation because the Antichrist cannot appear until that which restrains him is taken out of the way, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:7. If you're taking notes, number five, the restrainer in the world today is the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, who indwells church age believers. There's so much there. I'm only just throwing out sentences to you. The Holy Spirit restrainer in the world today is the power that indwells every born-again believer. You and I have been saved by grace. We're the recipients of the indwelling Christ. We've studied this. We're the recipients of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've studied this. I believe that born-again believers who have that indwelling Holy Spirit make up that restrainer. And one of these days, that restrainer at the rapture will be removed. When the church is removed, the Holy Spirit in those believers is taken out of the way. And the Antichrist is revealed. We're living in a magnificent time, the church age. I went back tonight just before the service to Acts chapter 2 and read some magnificent words about Pentecost. The church age is from Pentecost unto the resurrection of the body of Christ. Most people as believers, I shouldn't say that. A lot of people as believers don't really realize what a magnificent time in which we are now living. We're living between Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection of the body of Christ, the rapture on the other hand. A time of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So fantastic, so magnificent, so wonderful. And you and I must realize that God has us here right now because He has a reason and a purpose and a plan for our individual lives. It is not an accident. I've said this time and time again in recent days. It is not an accident that you and I are here on this earth right now. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity to realize once again that our existence is not an accident, and you have a plan and a purpose for us continuing to live on this earth now. This is a wonderful time for us to be alive. This is such a fantastic time. We realize that we could be taken from the earth at any moment, either by means of physical death or by means of the rapture. Help us to appreciate every breath that you give us. And help us to appreciate life more than ever before. Help us to appreciate the blessings of life, the spiritual blessings of life. Help us to appreciate the logistical blessings of life. Help us to be able to share the good news of salvation with those who yet have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we're thankful that you were willing to give your Son to come to this earth and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We're thankful for the death of Jesus Christ, not only for the fact that he died, but he was buried and then came forth victoriously, triumphantly over sin and the grave and hell. And we're thankful indeed for the victory that's found in Jesus Christ. And he's the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. This lets us know that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. We do not know whose ears are listening to this message tonight. There may be those who've never trusted you, but they could do it now. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so. It says shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do just that now. They'll trust you as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for loving us and blessing us. And we pray that there will be many who will make that decision, understanding that the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Because he did say, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He says, I am the way. And we're thankful for that. We pray that individuals will just take a few moments and make the most important decision ever to be made in life, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessing Jesus, thou hast bought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus.